All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs, that's right, not Psalms. Proverbs chapter 22 tonight. The title of the message is simply a short question, prudent or simple? Prudent or simple? I've got a question for us tonight. How many times does God have to say something for it to be important to me? How many times? Everybody in agreement with that? One time? One time. It's interesting, however, in the Bible that sometimes God says the same thing twice. Why? He wouldn't have to. If God says it once, that ought to be plenty, right? I think it's for emphasis. I think it's because it's a very important part He doesn't want us to miss. And God has a purpose for every single word in this book. And so when He says something twice, I want to sit up and listen. I one time did a little exercise with some folks. I gave them a little project, and I asked them to find how many verses they could find in the Bible that were identical. Not close, but identical. And you'd actually be amazed at how many verses there are that are identical in the Bible. And a couple of them are right here. That we'll look at today. But you know, I asked that question, how many times does God have to say something in order for it to be important? I remember hearing a mom one time, and she said to her little child, she said, "Come here." Let's say it's Johnny. "Come here, Johnny." Johnny didn't come. So she says, "Come here, Johnny." Johnny didn't come. So she raises her voice a little more. "Johnny! Come here!" And Johnny didn't come. And so guess what that mom did? She went, "One, two, three!" "Johnny, I said three! If you don't get here on three, you get in trouble. I said three and you're still not here. Johnny, come here! One, two, three!" And finally she just went over and she picked up Johnny and brought him over. And I thought, I've just met Johnny, a future criminal and juvenile delinquent, because mom is teaching him not to do what he's told the first time he's told. Right? I'll tell you, I got convicted about that when my kids were little. And I said, "Lord, I've got to be the right kind of dad and teach my kids that they need to obey the first time that they're told." We used to say, I don't know if Ben and Tim remember this, we used to say obedience is doing exactly what you're told right away with a good attitude. And it's got to be all three. It's got to be exactly what you're told. It's got to be right away. It's got to be with a good attitude. Well then, you know, sometimes there's situations where the kid thinks it can't be right away. And sometimes they're right. Okay? So we taught our kids to say a little phrase. I got this from somebody else. They say, "Yes, ma'am," or "Yes, sir," and then they say, "May I appeal?" Now, appeal is a legal term, right? But appeal means there's some more information here that you don't know about. So, we taught our kids, even when they were little, if there was something that they felt like they couldn't obey right away, they'd say, "May I appeal?" Quincy's looking at me, "When can they not obey right away?" You just wait, okay? For example, mom says, "Go make your bed right now." And dad says, "Hey, could you come help me hold this shelf here? I'm trying to get this shelf nailed up." What's the kid do? "I said, come get the shelf. You didn't obey the first time." Okay, so what the kid says is he says, "Yes, sir, Dad, may I appeal?" And I know, oh, that means there's more information I don't know about. "Okay, son, what's your appeal?" "Mom told me to make my bed right now." "Okay, go make your bed first, then come back and help me with it." "Yes, sir." Boom, boom. Okay, it's solved. But they're still respectful. And now, if you don't like "may I appeal," if that sounds too formal, you can come up with something else. My kids actually came up with something else because they didn't like saying "may I appeal." But it was the same, it served the same purpose and it worked out well. But you know, in a normal situation, they need to do what they're told the first time, right? When they're real little and they don't understand what's going on and the ball rolls out in the street and they're going out there to get the ball out of the street and you say, "Johnny, stop!" That's not time for may I appeal or anything else. That's first-time obedience. Because if it's not first-time obedience, Johnny is flat, okay? And hospital bills and everything else, all right? You know, that first-time obedience is crucial. It really is crucial. We used to say this, obedience is the bottom line. The bottom line is obedience. You know, the kids will test you. You know, after a while, they're sitting there watching football game on TV, and we say, hey, we'd like you to make your bed, and they know they can't just ignore you, because if they don't obey the first time, they get in trouble. But they want to watch the rest of the football game, so they say, may I appeal? What's your further information? It's 3rd and 10. I don't care, it's 3rd and 10. Go make it. Yes, sir. Okay. However, as the kids got older, sometimes I'd say, okay, next. Now I don't put them on the spot like that. Now a lot of times they're a little bit older, and if I know they're into a football game, I'll say, hey, next commercial, would you make your bed? Okay, we just did that yesterday for something. I wasn't making the bed. What was it? There was something. I said, next commercial, can you do this, you know? Yeah, it was yesterday. I can't remember. So anyway, but it's so important to teach that first-time obedience and to teach it to them. But, you know, I got thinking, here we are, grown-ups, and sometimes God says something we don't obey. And God is merciful. He only has to say it one time. But we're going to look at something where God says it the second time. I wrote this down. God in His mercy has chosen to say some things over again to stress it to us. There's two real similar verses, Ephesians 5:19. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Almost the same thing twice. Why? Because music's really important. Having the right kind of music, psalms, hymns, spiritual, not fleshly songs, but spiritual songs. It's really important. But let's look at two identical verses here. Proverbs chapter 22, look down to verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Great verse. Now go to Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 12. Chapter 27 and verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Identical. Same verse, both times. Keep your Bible open to one of them, and I'm going to ask us this simple question, the title of the message this evening, prudent or simple? Prudent or simple? Which one are we? And which one do we practice the characteristics for? Are we prudent or are we simple? Let's get some definitions. First of all, this verse defines the word prudent. It's one who foresees the evil and hides himself from it. In other words, he sees the bad thing that's going to happen if he does a certain thing or if he goes a certain way or says a certain thing. He can tell, if I do that, even though it might not be wrong of itself, if I do that, it's going to cause some problems down the road. This word evil could mean evil like sinful, but it could just mean bad things happen. Okay, bad things are going to occur. Problems are going to happen. It's not going to be a good situation if I do this, say this, go here, be here, whatever. A prudent man foresees that, and he hides himself from it. He says, I want to stay away from that. The saying nowadays is, we're not going to go there. How many of you have said that phrase? Okay, we're not going there. Don't go there means, you know, don't go into that situation. Don't get involved in that because that's going to turn out bad. A prudent person can foresee that. This definition in the verse actually agrees with our dictionary. Prudence in the dictionary is wise foresight. Wise foresight or understanding. That means you got some understanding. You can see what's going to happen here. Certain people have that naturally. Other people have to ask God for it. Say, Lord, I don't want to be simple. I want to be prudent. I want to be able to foresee the evil and hide myself from it. Sometimes the devil will get inroads into our life with something that seems small. Maybe something that really you could talk about and think it's not really sinful of itself, but it could definitely lead to some things. My wife tells a story of when she was a little girl, getting to spend some money at the gas station on some candy, and she came home, unbeknownst to her parents, with those candy cigarettes. All right? Now, her father, she was out at the end of the lane by the street and eating her candy cigarettes. And I guess when you eat candy cigarettes, you don't go, you hold them like a cigarette, you know, and you suck on it and you pretend it's a cigarette, right? Well, her dad found out and pitched a royal fit. And somebody could say, oh, come on, it's just candy. There's nothing wrong with eating a candy cigarette. Yeah, but her dad was prudent. He could foresee the evil. He could see that even though it might not be wrong to suck on a piece of candy, a candy stick that has a red tip on it, that could lead to her then being more likely to try a regular cigarette when she gets older. And a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Okay, that's prudence. That's understanding. That's wise foresight. That's what we're talking about here in this verse. So, prudence. All right, then it says the simple. The simple. In the Bible, one who is simple is one who is silly or foolish. Now, I'm not saying that there's never a time to act silly. All right, I always say this. Maturity doesn't mean that you never act silly. Maturity means you know when to be silly and when to be serious. Okay, some people, they're just silly all the time, and we say they're immature. Okay, maturity means, you know, hey, this is not time to be silly, this is time to be serious. All right, if you're out there at some fun activity, you know, we had our church picnic a while ago, and, you know, that's time to be silly, you know, you want to act silly out there, that's fine, okay? One of you has told me, I just haven't grown up yet, I'm still just a big kid. Well, that's fine, you know, it's fine to act silly and have a good time. But maturity means you know when to be silly and when to be serious. And sometimes with kids, sometimes junior hires, you have trouble getting them serious at the right time. But a simple person is one who's silly or foolish. It's interesting, the Hebrew word that's used here comes from the root word that means to make room. I got thinking about that. Simple, someone who is silly or foolish, but it comes from the root word that means to make room. Ah, there's room up there, okay? I like to think of it this way, like a spiritual airhead. That's the definition of someone who's simple. You know what it is like somebody who's an airhead? They're like, oh, I didn't know that. Or, oh, I didn't realize that. Or, oh, you have an evening service? Oh, I didn't know that. Or some teenager, oh, there's a teen leadership conference coming up? I didn't know that. You know, it's like, where have you been? We've been talking about it, passing out flyers, you know? But someone who's simple, it's not just something like that. It's talking about spiritually speaking. Kind of a spiritual airhead. This is the simple person. And here it says, the simple pass on and are punished. The prudent man sees the evil. The simple, he doesn't see it. Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. And they pass on, and then they are, as this verse says, punished. So I have that question tonight. Are we prudent or are we simple? Do we have understanding or are we spiritually foolish? Do we have foresight, wise foresight, or are we a spiritual airhead, if you will? Test yourself. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So I want us to think about some areas and just evaluate. Lord, am I prudent or am I simple in this area? First of all, do you foresee the evil of wrong actions? Wrong actions. Turn it to Ecclesiastes. It's after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 in your Bible. Do you foresee the evil of wrong actions? A simple person says, I know this is wrong, but I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. And they say, I'm not hurting anybody. You see, they don't foresee the evil. They don't see that, yes, they are going to hurt other people. Your life is not an island unto itself. You will influence other people. And a simple person says, I'm not hurting anybody. A simple person says, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. I can't tell you how many times as a youth pastor I heard that, a teenager coming up, I don't see anything wrong with it. Now, if they are asking a legitimate question, hey, pastor, what's the Bible principle about this? You know, I don't see why this is wrong. Can you show me from the Bible why this is wrong? That's a great thing to ask. Because they get to see the spiritual reason, the Bible reason why. It's important for them to learn that. But if the attitude is, what? I don't see anything wrong with this. Okay, that's the simpleton. He doesn't foresee the evil of wrong actions. Sometimes it manifests itself this way. I can do wrong and get away with it. That's what the simple person sees. He just passes on and he's punished. He says, I can do wrong and it's not going to catch up to me. I can cheat on my taxes and nobody's ever going to find out. I don't have to claim that as income. It was under the table. Nobody's going to know. A simple man just passes on and is punished. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Okay, that first part of that verse says there's sometimes when sentence against the evil work or punishment or chastisement is not executed speedily. But that's a bad thing because it says, therefore, because of that, the heart of the sons of men becomes fully set to do that evil. I think it's important that our courts are staffed well enough that they can get to the cases in a timely manner. Why? Because somebody who does something wrong and the sentence is not executed speedily, the Bible says here that their heart gets harder and harder. It gets fully set to do evil. To do evil. I'll tell you, when our kids were real little, if they misbehaved in the store or something like that, we didn't wait till we got home to handle it. Now, you've got to be careful in this day and age because you'll be accused of child abuse when you're practicing Bible discipline. So you've got to be careful about it, but you need to find some way to handle that. Maybe you can't use Bible discipline with the rod there in Walmart, but you can pull that kid close, give him the hardest pinch you ever gave him, and you say, when we get home, you're going to get Bible discipline. But if you just ignore it and say, oh, just don't worry about it right now. I don't want to make a scene in the store. We'll just wait till we get home. No, because that kid's heart, it says right there, if the sentence is not executed speedily, then their heart is fully set to do evil. And aren't we grown-ups like that too? You know, first time you're going faster than 45 on price, you think, oh man, I'm going faster than 45. I better hit the brakes. Whew. Boy, good. Nobody caught me. No ticket. No speeding ticket today. Whew, that was close. I didn't mean to be going that fast. I got to be more careful. But they didn't catch me. Next time, not so oh man, I'm speeding again. They don't ever sit on this road anyway. Yeah, right. Northport police are everywhere, right? But I saw one on Chamberlain down by my new house today. But anyway, they didn't catch me again. And pretty soon, 50, 55, you don't care anymore. And you think, they don't patrol this road. And then before you know it, woo, 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 bubblegum, topper, and you're busted, right? But why? Because you've done it often enough. Why do people go 80 miles an hour on I-75? Because they don't get stopped, right? And then once in a while they get stopped, but basically they don't get stopped enough, so they think, oh, might as well do it. Might as well disobey. And it's the same thing in our hearts. Now, guys, here's the hard part in our Christian life. God's a merciful God. And sometimes you will mistake His mercy for sentence not being executed speedily. And if you're not careful, you can get set in your evil ways and think, well, yeah, I've been doing this wrong for a while, but, you know, the car hasn't broken down and the dishwasher's still running and lightning hasn't hit the house. We haven't had a hurricane in a couple summers and, you know, everything's okay and I guess the Lord's not chastising me. Listen, don't live like that. Base your life on Bible principle. Sometimes we don't realize all that we're missing out on because God is chastising. Sometimes we don't realize the blessing that we're missing. We had some things, again, I've been talking about kids a lot, but we had some things, again, when our kids were little, where we didn't want to bribe our kids. We didn't want to say, now you be good at Walmart, and we will buy you an ice cream cone. Or you be good at Walmart, and then at the checkout, you can get a candy bar. Because that was like bribing them to do good, and then just getting them to do it. You say, no, that's rewarding them. No, rewarding them is this way. I'm just watching to see if they're good at Walmart. And then when they're good at Walmart and we get to the checkout, we say, hey, you've been good this whole time in Walmart. Today I'm going to buy you a candy bar. That's a reward. That's different than a bribe where you're telling them ahead of time. Hey, if you be good, I'll give you this candy. Okay, that's a bribe. Okay, but a reward is different. But I can't tell you how many times I had in my mind to do something special for my kids as they're growing up, if they did what they were supposed to do. But by the time we got to that checkout, if I had bought them a candy bar, I would be reinforcing their badness. And they missed out. And they never knew. They never knew. It might be that you teenagers never knew about the baseball game your parents were going to take you to. Or the bigger birthday present they were going to get you. But because of your rebellion or harsh spirit as a teenager or lack of communication with mom or dad, they said, I don't want to reward this. And you don't know. And don't you think God kind of works the same way? No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 84:11. God's got great things for your life. And I think we'll probably get to heaven and realize some of the things we missed out on that God wanted to do because we didn't obey Him all the way. We didn't do what He said. We didn't please Him with our walk. And don't fall into that trap of Ecclesiastes 8:11. So wrong actions, the simple, they just say, oh, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm getting away with it. What about the prudent person? What does he say about these wrong actions? He says this, if I do this wrong thing, I know I'm going to pay for it in eternity. Now, wait a minute. We're not going to be judged for our sins. But the Bible does say there's going to be a loss of reward in heaven. If I do this wrong thing, I'll probably pay for it in this life also. Again, when we're saved, we're not judged for our sins. Judgment for your sins is hell. We're not judged for our sins. But there's still a price to pay. So he says, well, doesn't God forgive? Yeah, sinning now that we're saved is kind of like taking a nail and nailing it into the barn door. And then when we confess, God forgives. And He rips out that nail and He throws it as far as the east is from the west and He remembers our sin no more. But our life still has the hole in the barn door. Oh, He can clean us up and He can make us forget it and He can forgive and things like that. But there are normal and natural consequences for sin. You know, many a prisoner right now would like to say, I want forgiveness. Okay, you're forgiven, but you're still serving the prison sentence. Okay? Because there's natural and normal consequences for sin. And God doesn't remove those. Sometimes in His mercy He does. But for the most part, our life is going to be affected by the wrong that we do. And those the principles of sowing and reaping are going to take effect because they're biblical. And a prudent person says, if I do this wrong thing, I know that I'm going to regret it later. A prudent person says, not only is this sin against God right now, but it could also hurt my future effectiveness for God. See, someone who's not prudent says, well, you know, I know this is not right, but, you know, the Lord will forgive me and I'll move on and I'll get it right later. Or sometimes a young person says, well, I'll just sow my wild oats and, you know, when I get to be 40 or 50, then I'll start living for God. No, a prudent person says, listen, this is going to affect my future effectiveness for God. I'll lose God's blessing if I break my fellowship with Him. Sometimes I'll tell myself, you know, with some of these things that people think are little sins, and sometimes I'm tempted to think, well, Mark, it's no big deal. Wait a minute. If it's no big deal, then you might as well do the right thing, because it's not worth losing my fellowship with God. I won't lose my relationship. I'm one of His kids. But it's not worth losing fellowship with God over something that trivial. Just do the right thing. A prudent man sees that. Cheating is a big thing like this. Sometimes it's school for young people. Sometimes I mention taxes. Maybe cheating at work. Cheating in other ways. We think it's no big deal, but it's failing to see the evil of going against God's Word. Failing to see that, you know, if you're going to cheat on that test and just get somebody else's answers, you're failing to see that someday you might need that material. You might need to know that for college, for your future life, for ways in which God is going to use you. Here I've been at Bethel for a little while, and already the Lord's used the fact that I learned and taught English, grammar, and math, and physics. And there's been three or four or five people I've been able to help in those subjects already. And the Lord knows what you're going to need in the future. And a prudent man foresees that. What about disobeying our authorities? Sometimes we think, well, the authority will never find out. Mom and Dad will never know where I go after school. Hey, you're failing to see the danger of stepping out from God's umbrella of authority and the protection that He provides. You're failing to see the blessings that God wants you to have as your authorities learn to increase your trust factor. Instead of thinking, oh man, I don't know, he wasn't honest with me about this. I better not allow him to do that or go there or be involved in that, because I'm just not certain about things. And you don't realize all that you're missing out on by wrong actions. Number two, let's talk about this, wrong friends. Wrong friends. Simple man says, I can handle it. I can handle it. We can have these couples over, and I know they're not living for the Lord, but you know, it's not going to pull us down. Listen, the only way that wrong friends will not pull you down is if in your mind you are praying and seeking to reach them so that it is an evangelistic friendship, not a buddy-buddy friendship. Because otherwise it's going to pull you down. You know, sometimes adults get involved in a bowling league. Okay? If the Lord wants you in that bowling league, that's fine. But go to that bowling league with the intent, not just to bowl, but with the intent to witness for Christ, to win them to the Lord. Maybe you say, you know, I need some contact with unsaved people. I'm involved in something that I use some of my evening time to be involved in, just so I have some contact with unsaved people and have an opportunity to witness and stand for the Lord and be in an atmosphere like that, so I can stand for Christ. But I don't go in there thinking, oh yeah, these are my friends now because I'm in that organization with them. No, I go in thinking, Lord, I want to be a light for You. Because if you don't go in thinking that, it won't be long till the bowling crowd pulls you down, or you get together and play games, you know. It's fine to have relationships with people in your neighborhood who are not saved. It's important, because that's how you win them to Christ. But make sure it's an evangelistic relationship. And a prudent man foresees the evil. A simpleton says, well, I can handle it. My friends won't be able to influence me for bad, because I'm strong. Sometimes young people say, I can date that unspiritual person. Maybe they say they're saved, Pastor, and I know they're not living for God, but they say they're saved, and maybe I can help them be spiritual. Very dangerous. A simple pass on and are punished. They fail to see the whole reason that their Christian life seems to be kind of like a big zero is that it's the wrong crowd that influences them. And they have no burden for the lost, no desire for the Word of God, no desire for the preaching of the Word. And it's all because of those wrong friends. A prudent man says, hey, I can see that wrong friendships can mess up my life. I see it in God's Word. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Proverbs 13:20 says, Proverbs 13:20. I'll get it in a second. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Okay, so it's right there, plain in Scripture. And a prudent man says, I can foresee the evil of walking with people who are not wise. A prudent man says, if I allow wrong friends to influence me now, I might miss important spiritual lessons that God wants to teach me and use in my future life. A prudent man says, you know, I'm not going to miss attending that particular church function where there's preaching going on. I used to tell young people, if it's a youth activity and it's just for fun, you know, we're going to go mini golf and you can't come, hey, no big deal. But if there's preaching involved, you ought to be there. Because you don't know if that's not the time that God is going to give you exactly what you need for some area in your life or for something on your future. And a lot of times people say, well, you know, I had this really a lot in the youth group I worked with. A lot of them would say, well, I want to wait and see who all signs up before I sign up. You know, just wait and see who's gone. No, I say, come on, take some leadership. And you just say, I'm going because it's right and I want to be involved and I want to hear the Word of God. And, see what happens. Going to camp is such an important thing, to be under the influence of the preaching of God's Word. Sometimes young people want to act cool or bored, you know, in church, you know, or in Sunday school. They're just going to act cool and act bored. And they don't realize that they're going to miss out on what God has for them. But sometimes it's not just young people. The older I get, the more I realize that really, no matter how old you are, it's still important to you what people think. Now, maybe it's less important than when you're a teenager, but it's still important what people think. And, you know, we got to have the tie that matches, you know, and the coat that matches because, you know, what are people going to think, you know? All right. Part of it's our testimony. What people think is our testimony for Christ, so it's okay to be concerned about it some. But we've got to be so careful because wrong friends can influence us. Are we prudent or are we simple about wrong friends? Then the last area, wrong words. Wrong words. The simple person says, oh, there's nothing wrong with teasing them like that. I'm just kidding around. The simple person says, oh, look at Joe Spiritual carrying his Bible. You know, look at him volunteering in Sunday school all the time. What's he think he is? Okay. A simple man laughs about sinful words. They laugh when somebody else maybe says something disrespectful to authority. And they say, well, I wasn't the one saying it. Yeah, they fail to see the evil. And they pass on and are punished. They laugh at maybe the words that are off-color jokes. They laugh at TV programs that make fun of sinful things like immorality or homosexuality, or disrespect to authority. You know, if you watch, I hope you don't watch those comedy shows on at night, but if you have one that you watch all the time, then the next time you watch it, just take a critical view of it. Just step back, just say, okay, in your mind's eye, say, okay, Jesus, you sit in the chair next to me, and we're going to watch this show, we're going to see if there's anything in here that's displeasing to you. And watch how they laugh and mock at authority, how they make the parents look foolish, how they make off-color jokes with double meanings, how they have worldly music playing in the background and you don't even necessarily realize or think about it unless you're looking for it and you're getting desensitized to it every time you watch that. And there's just so much of that, so much of that. And a simple person says, oh, it's not going to hurt me. I can do that. I can handle it. I'm grown up. I can watch this stuff. It doesn't influence me. But a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. When it comes to our words, a prudent man says, hey, I can see the evil in teasing. I know some senior high young people who act the way they do because of how they were teased and ridiculed in junior high. And it's made some permanent impact on their life. And a prudent man will say, you know, I'm not going to be one of those people who lashes out with my tongue and gives those people a hard time. I'm going to be one who encourages. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You say, well, I don't use corrupt communication. I don't say bad words. Okay, but listen to the rest of that verse because it contrasts what the opposite of corrupt communication is. And then from that you could tell what corrupt communication really is. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up. Oh, so corrupt communication is the opposite of communication that builds up. It's communication that tears down, that tears down. Oh, we got to be so careful. We say, well, they don't mind, or they just know I'm kidding. I don't know how many times I had to go back to somebody and say, I shouldn't have said that. I'm really sorry. Oh, I know you were just joking, Pastor. Yeah, but I shouldn't have been joking about that. Will you forgive me? Oh, no, you're making a big thing. No, I'm not, because the Bible said, and I want to be prudent. I want to foresee the evil of wrong words. Prudent man says, I know if I make fun of people who are trying to live for God, I'm going to pay for that someday. A prudent man says, I know that the wrong words I let in my mind through TV and other sources are going to have a big influence on me, and I better be careful. Let's ask ourselves tonight, when we look at our lives, are we prudent or are we simple? Because God put it in His Word two times. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Let's pray together.